You know, I had the privilege last night to speak with a young man who is going to Paris Island in June. And as I was talking with him, you know, his mother was standing there, and she's not exactly a keen proponent of this because of a past experience. Her stepfather and stepbrother were both Marines and not exactly exemplary as far as how they treated people. To which, you know, Angela and I, was it this morning we were having the conversation? We were having a conversation about this, about how you need to understand the military can change your life for the good, or if you stick with the wrong things because you don't have a personality of your own, you will exemplify the worst of the military. So many people I know, as soon as you say you're a Marine, they automatically expect you to be a hothead, foul mouth, blow up at everything. And I'm generally never was like that. Not saying you can't push my buttons and get me there, but I think we're all in that boat. But you know, the military is what you make of it. You can learn and come out great, or you can go in and accept only one part of it and make everybody around you miserable. And so I guess I chose to do what I could for my children and my family, but not to make their lives totally miserable, so that they would see the good that is in the military. So, all right, so having said all that, I want to talk to you today about something that's really kind of, it's at the crux of the whole Christian belief. Live to die. You know, we got all kinds of sayings now. Ride to live, live to ride. But the truth of the matter was, before there was ever a Harley Davidson, there was Jesus Christ who said, you must live to die and die to live. And, you know, the church has taken that away. Well, you need to live. We forgot about the die part. Oh, I just don't get it. I just don't. What's all this death? We need to fully understand what Jesus Christ was talking about. I talked to you last week about complacency and how it's so easy it is to get complacent. You kind of get the shackles and the I'm thinking of the barnacles on, I can't remember which pirates it was, but when Will meets his father, Bootstrap, and he becomes part of the ship. He's been with the ship so long, Davy Jones's ship. He's become part of it so long, he has barnacles growing on him. He's no longer alive. He's no longer even a functioning part of the ship. And that's what we've become as Christians when we become complacent. We're just part of something, but we don't know why. We don't know what we're doing. There's no life in us anymore. Well, part of the reason there's no life in us anymore is we have not died to ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ever have an exciting life. That's not what it means at all. When people say, that was what I heard as a child, not understanding this whole die to live and live to die concept. Because some people I knew, they took it automatically, you just cut out all fun in your life. And it's like, no, that is not what Jesus was saying at all. Jesus was at a wedding. There's people, well, we don't go to weddings, we don't go anywhere there's this, we don't go anywhere there's that. You know what? How's the world going to see that there's a Jesus if we aren't the light set on a hill to shine? Well, I never go anywhere where there's drinking and there's partying. Well, you don't have to participate at all. There's a song that I really like by Day of Fire called the Dark Hills. And it just talks about how Jesus, he ate supper with beggars and thieves. He didn't hang out with the religious elite. He wasn't trying to rub shoulders with the leaders. As a matter of fact, he had a tendency to rub them the wrong way, because he would say things like, you got to die to live, or you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, on this side of understanding it, we can all say, oh yeah, I get it. But what if I told you, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Ain't one of you coming back, I hope, because that means you're cannibals. And if you do come back, I'm not coming back. Just put it where it belongs. But for us to die means that we lay down our lives. Now, like I said, there's a lot of things that I never fully understood growing up in a Christian home that honestly had been taught a lot of bad things and ideologies on how we're supposed to be as Christians. One gal I was talking to last night, she was even saying that she grew up in such a strict home, she wasn't allowed to have friends if they didn't go to the church. I understand it. That's why I hated leaving a church. Besides the fact that I think it's wrong to just bounce around. Personally, you're a butterfly. You're here today, gone tomorrow, and you didn't do anything for the body of Christ. Personal opinion. But I wasn't allowed to have friends if they didn't go to church. So guess what that meant on the girlfriend propositions? They were really narrow. Because any of the guys that figured it out said, well, let's go to the churches and find out if there's any cute girls. And there usually was, so the competition got even harder. And then you're trying to live a holy life before God. But I never got to fully understand what it meant to lay down my life until I enlisted. And then even that took another year. So when I got it understood, I can live, but I have to die to my will. And that's one of the greatest things that I think I've finally figured out about living to die. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I love that part when in that song, Grace to Grace, when I see the cross, I see freedom. If you don't see freedom, you are bound by religion. The cross is not heavy. The cross does not bring sorrow. The cross brings joy. But that's not what we've been taught. We've been taught, oh, it's so heavy, this is the burden of the Lord, I can't bear it. Then it's not God's. God's burden is easy. His yoke is light. It's not difficult. Unless you make it difficult. If you add religion to it, life sucks. That's all there is to it. It's terrible. But get religion out of it. Get a relationship with God. See the cross as freedom. And then you'll understand that when he said you've got to pick up your own cross. Caleb's cross is not my cross, and my cross is not his. This is my cross. Guess what? Yes, there are days it feels a little heavy, but that's because it's of me. When I throw what people think I should be doing or people think about me out the window, I find out how easy that cross is to carry. My job is easy. Did I have to lay things down? Absolutely. I laid a lot of stuff down. There, one of them was coming back to Ohio. But that's where God wanted me. And guess what? I love this place. It's beautiful. Now, I just think it's garbage. Well, why don't you quit looking at all the garbage? Oh, and if the garbage bothers you, pick it up. Pray for those people that need the help. Or better yet, help them. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, we all want to be disciples, right? That's what we're called to be, disciples. He said, go make disciples of all men. He didn't say go make Christians. He said disciples. Don't go make religious people. Make disciples. That means we're disciplined. We're trained. But we don't want to do that. Take it personally. Well, I don't want that. I want the Jesus I can control. You can't control Jesus. I like in the movie The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe where Mr. Tumnus says, Aslan is not a tame lion. Jesus isn't a tame lion. You aren't dictating to him. And that's what he was trying to say. And whether it's in the book or not, I have no idea, but it was a perfect analogy. Because we can't control God. And the second we think we control God, we became God. God doesn't bow to our will. And if we don't bow to God's will, then we think we're God. And we are complacent. Self-satisfaction, right? I have attained. Look at me. Look at how good I am. Well, I believe this. I believe that. I don't care what you believe. I really don't. I care what God believes. Well, I think this. Great. What does God think of you? There's the only person on this planet that matters. Tim, what does God think of you? What does God think of us as a person, as an individual? I hope he says, well done. I'm proud of you. That's my boy. I don't know about you, that's what I'm striving to hear. Well done. Instead of everybody saying, well, here's where you made your critical mistake. I pretty much knew where I made my critical mistake. I can take you right back to where, right there. Right there's where I did it. I don't need somebody pointing out my mistakes. We need to hear God say, well done. You picked up your cross and you followed me. Where does he lead us? Wherever he wants to go. I've told you, 1991, I told God, I do not want to know you like anybody else. Through anybody else. I want to know you personally as an individual. And I'm here to tell you, folks, God has revealed himself to me. He has taken me, shown me things, taken me to places I never thought I'd be. The places that everybody else seems to want to be. He let me go. And I realized that's not where God was. I went to the room. He wasn't in the room. But all the other preachers were in the room. Why didn't I know God was in there? But then I went away to the quiet little workshop. And there he was. We all have our own place. There are people, they need a closet to go in and pray. I was talking to my mom this week and she said, this house is perfect. I get to walk right between the living room and the dining room when I'm praying. She likes to walk. You know where I go when I need that? Right here. I walk these aisles. When God is on me and I need to really pray like it, that's I'm right in here and I'm praying. I'm walking up and down these aisles. There's one night I spent over 2 hours walking these. And I prayed the whole time. The rest of the time it's in my workshop. That's where I hear him the best. And for me, I know why. Because I'm a creative person. And when I'm in there, I tap into the creative side of God. Which, by the way, is hugely prominent in your Bibles. David was a creative person. Now, I don't write poems and songs. Can't dance worth a lick. Something tells me neither could David because he couldn't keep his clothes on. But that was David. Samuel tuned into God in another way. But they all had to lay something down for what they did. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake. For my sake! You got to do it for God's purpose. Well, God, I'm going to do this, but you know, I'm expecting you to do that. Oh, what arrogance. What arrogance we have. I expect you to do something, God. Heard one preacher said, God owes me because I give. How about you take 3 steps back so I don't get hit? That's pride, folks. That's arrogance to say God owes me. God doesn't owe me diddly squat. It doesn't matter if I gave $100 million away, if I hit the Powerball tomorrow or whenever the next drawing is. And I gave it all away. God doesn't owe me a thing. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, It was done. Now, God rewards those who diligently seek him. Those are the people that want to know who he is. And I'm encouraging right now, if you do not know that, press in. I mean, you go after God like you were going after your spouse. Guys, you saw a pretty girl. I hope at some point, well, if you're sitting here with your pretty girl, you kind of zeroed in that target, didn't you? You're kind of like that great white shark circling the boat, waiting for that diver, right? You're waiting for that diver to jump in. You were there. You got to be like that with God. The closer you get to him, the more you'll see who he is. You'll see how much he loves you. And if you will lay down your life, if you will lay down your personal ambitions is what it means. You got to lay them down and say, God, I pick up this cross, which is easy. It's light. And when you pick that up, you need to understand something. Not everything you laid down was evil. God had things in you that were for a purpose. But you now need to be able to let him work through them. Cutting hair. How many people do you say you get to talk to every week? A lot. 22 people a day. If we go 6 days, you know, you're about 130. But I'm sure somewhere along the line, you ought to preach. You ought to do Bible studies. You ought to do this. You need to go lay. Has any? Maybe not. But I've had people. Our conference room, it's what we call it, to keep the insurance people satisfied. It's our fellowship hall. You need a clothing ministry. Anybody ever been part of a clothing ministry besides me? Let me tell you what happens. Everybody brings their dirty clothes. They aren't always washed. You got to sort them. You get everybody's throwaways. And then you got to hang them up, and then they just hang there. Somebody talked my mom and dad into doing that in our basement. They're in our play area in the winter, by the way. We need food storage for the entire church. We're going to do all this, and we're going to put it in your basement. We need a clothing ministry. My dad needs a job. How about that? How about we get my dad a job first? He doesn't need, which by the way, he didn't, because I'm the one that got stuck stacking the garbage. We didn't need that. But that's what people said we needed. Why? Because that's what the church does, right? Yeah, if they're religious. There are people that God has moved on. They ain't all saved. Did you know that? Not everybody who provides a beneficial service to mankind is a Christian. Now, I do like to especially support, get that out, those who tell people about God's love. But if you're providing a good service for mankind, I don't care. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be doing this, and if you're feeding the hungry, I don't care. But we do help the ministries that do that. We help the ministries that give out clothes. We can do that. Unless there's somebody here who feels so led by the Holy Spirit, you want to start a clothing and food ministry in your garage. Anybody, any takers? By the way, you're going to lose your garage. None. It's a lot of work because it's not your cross. It's not what you're supposed to pick up. You can help, but you ain't supposed to pick it up. Just like OCC is something that's a burden for all of us. We pick it, and when I say burden, it's an easy burden. But we pick it up and we run with it. We do it. And we put up with a lot of stuff over the years on a couple occasions. But we do it. Because it's not heavy. It's ours. It's our cross. And because of that, What would you? How many thousand boxes a year do we get out? Come out of here now? Okay. Okay. So just this church does 600. What do you think all the other churches bringing boxes in? That's how many children you're touching for Jesus. That's your cross. That's part of your cross. That's part of what you're supposed to be doing because you're a part of this body. And Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you've got to lose it first. You've got to get it down. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm happier than I ever would have been doing anything else in my life. And I could do anything. And that's not arrogant speaking. They approached me as a junior to take art classes so that I could develop my skills even better because I am actually an excellent artist. But I haven't done it in so many years. Yeah, I'm not for certain. But I could have been doing that. I could do anything because I also believe that I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. But I can do it all if he told me to do, if it's my burden. I was a diesel mechanic. Guess what I didn't like working on? Diesels. They're dirty. They're heavy. Batteries weigh about 100 pounds each. Starters in the same neighborhood. I could do it. I wasn't happy. But I could do it. I could do this. And guess what? It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. But I'm happy. Well, you don't need to find that. Well, you need to get saved. And next time they want to baptize you, make sure it's not vinegar. Because that's what the problem is. The joy of the Lord is gone because we're not following Christ. What are you supposed to do with your life? First thing everybody says, you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to get everybody saved. The ones God puts in your path are the ones. Sometimes you're just a plow. Sometimes you plant the seed. Sometimes you water it. And sometimes you're the harvester. Without all those steps, the seed won't die and grow. So we got to die to ourselves. For what profit is it to a man that if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What have you got that you can pay Jesus back for your soul? What have you got? He already owns your body. It's going to turn to dust. You got nothing. He uses gold as asphalt. Pearls as gate hinge posts. What have you got that's valuable? You've got your love. And that's why you lay down your life to pick up his. And when you pick up that cross, it's not hard. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. The things God has told you, the things God has led you to do, not the things that somebody said, that Billy Joe Bob down the road said you need to be doing because you're a Christian. Just like the guy that told me I should be wearing a cross around my neck because I'm a preacher. Why? What if he had been hung with a noose? Or shot with a 45? Or the electric chair? What about that? No, wouldn't work. I don't need a cross. You wear and wear a cross, you wear the cross. I don't need it. I don't like jewelry anyhow. I'm down to a rubber ring now. But we seem to think that we got to do what everybody else is doing. And that's not it. You want to find joy? You want to find true success? Do it in God's camp. Stay where you're supposed to be doing. Not, oh, I got to be doing this. Got to be doing that. Got to. Who cares what people think of you? Well, they're a selfish individual. If God has anointed you to be a prayer warrior, particularly, I mean, we can all pray. But there are some people, there is an anointing on them. They can, and they go forth and they pray. But if we do not take that in and grow, we become miserable. Everything's boring. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, then he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Or, hey, I played the Powerball and I won $1.28 million, or billion dollars. What am I going to do now? Keep in mind that that $0.28 is $280 million. If you want to start wrapping your head around that. What are you going to do? Got $2 billion. I'm going to store it all away. For what? You got people dying of hunger. Well, that's not my fault. Well, maybe it's not. It's not our fault. Usually it's because people won't stand up and fight for themselves. That's why OEF and the Afghanistan war, it was all for nothing. The people won't stand up for themselves. We can't keep standing up for everybody. Especially when they don't want us there to do it. They won't do it. If you don't want freedom, you don't have to have it. Especially on my blood. But if you want it, I'll fight for you. And he thought within himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you, what is it? Art, you have many goods laid up for your many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Art, you have $1.2 billion. Take it easy. You're on Easy Street. Go get you a jet. Go buy that Bentley. Or that Koenigsegg. Or a few of them other cars that I have a hard time pronouncing their names. Go buy those. Yeah, I can't drive them on the streets around here. So then I got to move. I don't like the cold, so I'm going somewhere warm. Now what am I going to do? Am I blessing people? Absolutely not, I'm not. I'm just sitting back on my butt, getting lazy, getting arrogant, thinking people should kowtow to me because, you know, I'm a billionaire now. What good did it do Jeffrey Epstein? Where'd all his money go? He's still a billionaire. Where did his money go? What good did it do him? He got all that money and he started crossing lines because I'm above the law now. We won't go down the rest of that rabbit hole. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? I work hard my whole life. I don't enjoy it. I don't do anything that God has said to do. What should this man have done? He said, hey, you know what? I do need to have bins. I'm going to build the bins. But maybe I'm going to start another branch of my industry over here. I'm going to employ some more people that need a job. Well, you should just give it to them. Why? Understand something, ladies and gentlemen. When we give all the time, that's why they tell you not to feed the bears in the park, right? They won't go out and be bears. They won't go out and do what they're supposed to do. And we have created generation after generation after generation now who rely on welfare. Well, I don't need to go get a job. I'll just say I'm half crazy and I'll get it. I know that one to be true. So, if all I got to do is just wait for everybody else to keep giving me money for nothing, and I get to run around and do whatever I want all day, no. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches if we don't work, we don't eat. Now, if you need help, that's great. But if you're in a constant state of needing help, you need to start working. Here's a broom. There's the gutter. That gutter needs cleaned. We can't get around all these cars. I knew a man that Knox County said, hey, that's what we're going to do. You're too young of a man to be just receiving this for nothing. We're going to have you start sweeping the streets over here in this town. Guess what he did? He went and got a job. Imagine that. He didn't want people seeing him out there pushing a broom. Who cares? But when you, by the way, when you take that away from any man or woman, you take away their purpose for living. God gave Adam a job first. Sorry, you're going to work. It don't always have to be hard. That became because of sin. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You help the poor. You help the needy. You protect the innocent, the widow, the orphans. You know what happened? We started abusing the orphaned. You're just an orphan. That attitude is prevalent. You're just an old person. Just go in here. Just shut up. Do you know what happens if our elders quit speaking? The knowledge that goes away. To be lost forever. Because we got a 17-year-old twit that thinks they know better than everybody else. When did our world become this backward? And if you're offended by twit, boy, have I got a vocabulary for you. Because it just means a bonehead. Why? Why are we listening to kids that are being fed by somebody else, clothed by somebody else, raised by somebody else? Oh, that's right, because they're puppets. Because the body of Christ wants to become billionaires. The body of Christ wants to be self-help gurus. The body of Christ doesn't want to teach. You've got to lay down your life and be willing to pick up the cross. He doesn't want you to start a church most of the times, folks. He doesn't. He wants you to maybe show some kindness towards somebody. Pay attention to the countenance of somebody's face. A face will tell you everything you need to know. Something's not right. You don't even need to know the information. You have the Holy Spirit. Use the Holy Spirit to pray. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. If we're to believe that our lives were meant to be miserable, then we do not understand. You need to understand, Jesus, at 30 years old, started his ministry knowing what was going to happen. Everybody says, oh, well, he couldn't have known or he wouldn't have done it. No, he had to have known. That's why God asked him to do it. He knew what was going to happen. If you knew you were going to be shocked, but you had to do something, you had to do it to save somebody's life, could you? You're going to get shocked. And it doesn't usually feel good. A 9-volt battery on your tongue doesn't feel good. But would you do it? Would you do it knowing that people are going to pull your hair out by the handfuls? They're going to strike you. They're going to beat you to where you're just a bloody pulp that you can't see because of the blood running in your eyes. Then the stress of all that culminates when the guilt of all mankind comes upon you. And you cry out to God, Father, this is why I was born. This is why I came. Could you do it? The Bible tells us that we wouldn't. We would hardly do it for a righteous person, let alone somebody that had lied to us, lied on us, lied about us, stuck us in the back, stole from us, cheated us. We wouldn't. You get what you deserve. I praise God that he's a God of mercy and we don't get what we deserve. Picking up our cross is easy, but it's your cross. You have to pick it up. And then I've told you, there are stages in our lives that we go through, and something worked for a while, and it's time for you to lay that down and move to the next stage. It's called a cycle. That's how this world works. You just keep progressing. Just like you become you were just a son one day. Then you're a husband. Then you're a daddy. And then you're pawpaw. Your role changes. But yet you still have to fulfill it all. You just keep changing. And you adapt. And you keep moving forward. So when you pick up the cross, you need to understand that's what's going to happen. You're going to pick it up. I know when I picked up the cross for this, I had some grandiose ideas on some things. This is going to work. It's going to be like this. God took me in the military to show me this. No, God took me in the military to whip the little boy out. The little boy that ran. Said, you know what? I don't need this. He beat that out of me so that I wouldn't run. And what I've gained is I look around and I see friends who I am proud to call my brothers and sisters. Because as you lay your life down and you follow Christ, you're following his command to love one another. And that is an honorable thing. So, Rob, if I could have the prayer requests. Thank you, sir. Amen. 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 Okay. You know, I do have a little thing I wanted to share. You know, it's been a little bit now. Most of you remember the day I broke my glasses up here. And all I needed was new. And it was the best pair I'd had because they actually got the prescription pretty good. And I could wear them anytime. I just needed a new pair of arms. I was going through my desk today. And I found a matching pair that has the exact same arms. Now, they're a little tweaked right now because this one touches my eye. But I was like, thank you, Lord. Those are the same arms. It means I can use those arms and put them on my good glasses and see. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, I got to put them down here. I can't handle it touching my eyeball. I'm sorry. Yeah, there. How bad? Sad part is I crossed my arms back here during praise and worship, and I heard a pop, and that was the final. So, but I can see. By the way, I do have an appointment to get new glasses. It's just, it'll be probably January before I get to see them, so. Okay, praise God. God is good. I know you're saying, well, Pastor, why don't you just pray God to touch your eyeballs? I have. And right now, this is the part of the curse I have to carry. And you know what? Okay. So be it. But we're going to pray for these things, folks. And again, get out and vote Tuesday. Vote, 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 vote. Anybody not understanding the message? Vote, vote, vote. If God's people would get up and do what they're supposed to do. Yeah. Honestly, if God's people were doing what they were supposed to do, the Antichrist could never rise. But there's coming a time and a day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to come riding in. Hallelujah. Well, let's go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in our lives today. Father, you're illuminating to us the cross that we're supposed to be picking up to follow you, Father. It is all of our desires to be holy, to be acceptable to you, to hear, well done, my friend. You obeyed and you did and you have been blessed. Now enter in into your rest. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what Jesus has done for us, that we may be free. Father, we see that cross as